I think my presentation really follows beautifully on the ones that passed both in terms of looking at the Delaware model and looking at a state that has already implemented standards both in CSFP and child care licensing. This study was conducted, the data was actually collected in the summer of 2009, I guess from 2010, and the report was released in May. Many of you may have seen it through listservs, et cetera. So if I don't have enough time, please afterwards if there are questions you have, and I do have hard copies of the report, although only about 10, so people who really feel like you need a copy, and I will have a web connection to that. Now, advancing is just one little left. Right, okay. I want to thank my authors. The authors are myself, Kara Mantinen, who is not in the room today, Kara Rudolph, who I see next to back there, Ruth Morgan, who's not here today, and also some assistants of Matt Longjohn. We are all Alterum staff. As you said, it's a nonprofit health research institute, and this came out of, this project was part of our CHOMP effort, our Child Obesity Mission Project that Deirdre mentioned. Just so you know, because I don't want to forget it, we're having a reception from 6:30 to 8 with some food and drink in room 301, so you can find out about all the different work we're doing in child obesity prevention there. And there are APHA presentations and poster sessions about different projects. They fell into three areas. Child care, because as Lorraine mentioned in 2009, and 2008 actually, we started developing and thinking about this project. We realized the best way to focus our limited resources, which were self-funded resources, was really on early childhood, because so little had been focus had been there. So the Alterum actually invested $2.5 million of resources, funding, and staff for about 2.5, 3 years. It's almost ending now. And my work was in the childcare arena. We also did work in public health systems, trying to help states integrate BMI surveillance into their childhood child health care registries or immunization registries, looking at feasibility and helping one state and one county, San Diego County, for those Californians, we worked with them, and in Michigan. And the food and nutrition, our focus was on WIC, and there will be a poster session, two poster sessions and a presentation on that. In that case, we looked at what's happening in terms of the WIC food package to access to small stores in urban and rural communities. We also looked at ways to improve nutrition education in WIC through participant-centered education. Again, lots more information available at different sessions and at our reception. So back to the child care systems change, which is the focus today of my presentation. We went in, what we tried to do at that time was we realized that people were moving forward in terms of licensing and CACFP changes, and sort of the cry had been out there that this was important. There were models happening in Delaware, that was really the first in the nation. And I think maybe it comes from me having been a nutritionist and done some training in Head Start, saying, well, what are the practical implementation information that people need? If people in different parts of the country are going to duplicate what these standards in Delaware or other standards, and legislation had just passed recently saying that IOM had to look at CSFP standards, what do they really need? Now, Nemours had begun training at the beginning, had invested in some training, but we reached out to Delaware and said, what could you possibly need at this point, since you have your standards and you've done some training? And they said, you know what? We're really not sure people are taking up the changes. We've done a lot. There are some people that are your first innovators and are making changes, and there are some people that are screaming bloody murder. And there was the range. And we'd really like to know what our providers need, and if we can build on what we've done and provide and make some changes. And we also partnered with DC for a separate research you'll be hearing about to look at, they were planning changes in CSFP nutrition standards, and they were planning licensing changes, which have been submitted as proposed but have not been implemented yet. And at the time, this was pre-licensing rule regulations when we did that study. So Kara Rudolph is going to be talking about that tomorrow at 12:30, the physical activity component of that study. Whoops, going backwards. In Delaware, when I said our partners, it was not only Nemours, but also the state CSFP agency, the child care licensing agency, and a very important partner that Nemours has brought in from the beginning is the University of Delaware, the people that do the training, professional workforce development for child care providers. That's the Institute for Excellence, University of Delaware. Again, Delaware's nutrition and physical activity policies were among the first in the nation. They included both CSFP and licensing changes, and they focused on homes and centers. A lot of people scared about regulating standards in homes. But in fact, many states are doing things. Delaware has decided not to do screen time in homes, but interestingly, in Pennsylvania, I've just recently looked at their quality rating and improvement system, and they do limit the screen time in homes. They don't even mention it for centers, but they realize there may be more need for that in the family daycare homes. Just piggybacking what you were saying, Eleanor, about not seeing the TV on at centers. But in screen time, so we looked at physical activity, nutrition, and screen time standards. Screen time, we mean not just TV, but as well computer time, DVD time, videos. And we thought that the best that we were actually told, we went in there thinking we needed to talk to stakeholders at the state level and the CSFP sponsors who were doing the training. And what the state people told us was, no, you need to talk to the providers. And we were very glad, actually, that they said that. We don't really know. We know that they've, many of them have done some really neat things. We'd like to document the changes they make, and we'd like to know what they still need. So we did focus groups primarily. We did those interviews with partners that, as our initial data gathering, and then we did focus groups with providers across the state and with parents as well. We had 7 groups of providers and 3 groups with parents. There's a lot more detail in the study on the methodology. I'm going to try to skip through that. We asked them about buy-in. We asked them about what I called promising practices. What have you done to change? And really some very exciting ideas that I hope Eleanor and others that are doing this work can pick up on and sort of duplicate. I think some of them came from Nemours training ideas, and some of them came from just their own experience and creativity. They talked about difficulties and as well as ways they're communicating with parents, and parents told us about ways their centers were communicating with them. They talked about challenges, and I won't underestimate that, as well as strategies that they used to address the challenges of making these changes. And we took their recommendations. What I'm going to present today are not really my recommendations or our recommendations. They're really, at the end, they will be the recommendations that we heard from the providers. It is qualitative research. It's focus group data. We coded all the data. We analyzed 200 hours of interviews, looked at common themes. So it's not quantitative. We can't tell you that how many percent of providers said certain things, but we give you the range of what people said and what were the common themes and findings. The exciting news was that those people who were screaming bloody murder were the minority of the folks. Providers and parents generally understand and embrace the goals of these nutrition and physical activity standards. I have a couple of quotes here. Again, if you look at the book, that's really what focus groups are about. That's getting the research and the information in the words of the people who you talk to. One quote, the top quote here, I think I think they explained it better than academicians and others might, but I think we have to look at, this one woman said, the fact that if we start teaching the younger generations now how to eat right, then when they grow up, we won't have the obesity problems we have now. If we're teaching them, introducing them to more fruits and vegetables, and teaching them how to eat healthy, that can make a difference. I had a parent in one group talk about how she'd been going down the shopping aisles, and her mother would say, "Mommy, can't you see that isn't 100% juice? Look." She didn't know her daughter how to read the number 100%, to her 4-year-old at that time. And parents talked about what the kids were bringing home, so that was very exciting. I would say the majority really accepted there were people who were concerned about their children going hungry if they wouldn't eat the foods, so it's not 100% embracement. And there were providers who said, "I'm not a nutritionist. How am I supposed to do this? You know, I have so many other things I do." So what we really focused on is what they needed. These were the exciting ideas those positive folks talked about. They've got new recipes, some of them they got from training, some of them they got from each other. The CSFP sponsors, I won't underestimate their role. The sponsors are the people that within the states that actually provide a lot of the training and resources for home providers and in some states the centers as well. So they exchanged recipes, they talked about potlucks that their sponsors had put out, recipe exchanges and newsletters. They talked about finding kid-friendly ways to introduce new foods, making the food fun, calling the food Elmo tomatoes, or of course, Elmo being a red guy, making up nutrition songs and rhymes and integrating that into the classroom. These were ideas, again, very innovative child care center directors. And actually, in the focus groups, what was exciting for me was that there was a lot of exchange of ideas right then and there. It was only 10 providers, but they were really neat ideas that people had for each other and said, wow, you know, I didn't know that. Or they involved staff and menu. We heard about staff being engaged in the menu planning and recipe development, actually taste testing the foods, because the center directors and cooks are smart enough to know that if the staff are sitting there eating with the kids and if the staff don't eat it, kids are not going to eat it. Or if you see a face, an adult makes a face, they might not encourage someone else to try it. Or if you like it, you're more likely to encourage someone else to try it. They talked about holding family activity nights. Now, this was part of the initial training that Nemours had provided for those who received that. How do you get parents involved? Hold a family activity night, have them. One center had a family make and kids make soup, and they went into a different room and added a different vegetable to the end that they had a very good and apparently tasty nutrition soup. The end, they offered, they had physical activity night with parents and kids in some of the centers. And, which I didn't mention, they involving the kids actually in preparing the new kind of foods, doing it simple in snacks, is a way to change behavior. I know it's a way that I've changed behavior. If I've been involved in cooking classes and in learning healthy ways to cook, then it's a lot more interesting to me than when I'm doing it alone, I have to admit. The challenges, learning new ways of meal planning, shopping, and cooking is overwhelming to many people. It shouldn't be underestimated. They have many other jobs, these center directors. Nutrition may not be, or in home providers. Nutrition and cooking, some of them said, this is what I did for my grandchildren. This is what I've always done. Cooking is what I love to do. Others really don't like cooking. So sticking the frozen chicken nuggets in the oven and to the kids is what they really think of as in terms of foods, or the frozen French fries. So it's really about changing behavior and culture of cooks as well as just changing the menus. But they asked to make it, which I'll say in the recommendations, as a challenge, they really asked to make it simple. Many of them didn't understand the rationale for milk, which was interesting to me, for going less than 2%, or not giving whole milk to kids over age 2. People talked about the time or burden costs of shopping and food preparation. People talked about food costs. The study does not, if there's no questions about, we really didn't document whether this cost more for anybody or did not cost more. There was no, this was really about focus groups. Some people were implementing it without any increased reimbursement. Others were concerned about cost. And they talked about the stores, their institutional, the vendors of the stores not really understanding the guidelines. If they were asked not to provide foods with more than 6 grams of sugar, they didn't know how to get the information from their the people at the grocery store or their vendor. And sometimes they were actually buying the right foods, ordering the right foods like whole grains, but then when it was delivered, the institutional vendor didn't understand what that meant, which is interesting. They talked about parental resistance. In a positive way, in physical activity, we saw, this was less of a focus of this particular study, but we did see some positive changes about ways they were implementing physical activity, holding fun trainings to actually engage the teachers in coming up with ideas, doing wellness programs for their staff. Again, it's the same way as sort of getting people involved in taste testing recipes. So all this was sort of, how do you turn the standards, how do you turn all these ideas into reality at the center level? And there are a lot of good ideas that I hope you all can take back with you if you're interested in working on this in your states or your counties. In terms of the challenges of physical activity, people talked about limited portable play equipment. How do I get hula hoops? How do I get balls, crawl tubes? It's not something that these low-resource centers have a lot of, or if they've had them, they may not be in good condition anymore. They talked about the need for practical information to help teachers implement these, and they talked about staff resistance or lack of motivation. I will, the recommendations, I have 1 minute, so I'm going to speed through this a little bit. They said, make it simple. I think that's really, in terms of the nutrition findings, there's a lot of things that I talked about while I was talking about the challenges. Give us the menus, give us the recipes, give us the cooking instructions, and help us figure out, maybe even with shopping lists that combine with a week full of menus. If we had a shopping list that was tied to that, it would make it much easier. And in fact, I envision an online tool somewhere where there is a weekly menu with a set of recipes matched to shopping lists for those that people could use. And they also talked about scaling up recipes, that they needed to know what if they were center for 25 or 50 or 100, how do you make these recipes work? Because a lot of the recipes they were finding in cookbooks were really for families and not institutions. And engage the staff and families and bring them together. In the higher level policy change recommendations, QRS has been mentioned, the second bullet by Kumar, the state's quality rating and information systems. In addition to childcare licensing, we at Alterm and have taken what we learned in Delaware and trying to see how we can help states move towards an incentive approach that not only has licensing, which is regulations that may have penalties associated with noncompliance, but QRAS, where many states actually are using resources to fuse in training and technical assistance so that people can meet levels of quality in childcare. Just as quick background, QRAS systems are usually like, it's like Zagat rating for restaurants. You have stars, it could be 3 or 5 stars levels, or silver, bronze, gold, and they're standards that are set in place by a state that are agreed upon usually by a consensus process that, as Kumar says, knows takes a long time. They're still working on theirs in California, but there are 22 states that have QRAS systems, and at least 2 or 3 states that have put in nutrition and physical activity standards in the last year into their QRAS systems. So that's one recommendation. And the top one, which is really related to that, is getting this kind of training for physical activity and nutrition, not to be just a one-time training that Eleanor is able to provide through Health Department funding or CACP funding, integrating whatever gets funded through CASFP or QRIS or quality training, the nutrition and physical activity into the professional workforce development. So everybody recognizes it's something that childcare workers need to learn from the beginning. Not time, I think, for questions, right? Do I have time? Okay. I have time for one question.
So one of the barriers that we found with our local childcare provider is the cost issue, particularly of fruits and vegetables. So what strategies did you come up with to overcome that barrier?
Well, I have to say, probably at the beginning, I'm not in Delaware. And we were doing this independent research to help them figure out what they needed to do. Actually, you know, in the provisions in Delaware, they don't have to use fresh fruits and vegetables. They could be using canned or frozen fruits and vegetables. And we weren't making recommendations, but I have to say that what some of the providers did was they actually went to farmers markets, and they told us about that they bought like a whole bunch of blueberries when they were in season. This was in the summer we were doing these. Remember that. So they had blueberry for breakfast, they had blueberries for snack for lunch, they served blueberry. I mean, they used that particular fruit for a while. They had cantaloupe, and then they figured out different ways to serve that. So I think our report talks about asking the states also to help these childcare providers make connections with farmers markets and to see if there were possible discounts they could provide for them with suppliers if they promised that they would get out there and shop. But in terms of the larger centers that probably aren't going to be going to farmers markets, you know, the 100 folks, again, there are other options than fresh and fruits and vegetables. Even though we, of course, all think they're important, they are more expensive than frozen and canned. In fact, when I gave my presentation to the state of Delaware, their team nutrition committee, the cooperative extension, said, how come none of your pictures show frozen or fruit or canned fruits and vegetables? They also fresh, and it certainly is an option. I think that's it. Thank you. I don't know if you have time to jot this down, but I have copies of the report. Come see me. This is a long link to the report, but this is the web link, and I can give you that if you come by and see me.